Yeah, what father isn't going to be playing a little air guitar to that music? Happy Father's Day, Arizona. Happy Father's Day weekend, I guess I should say. It is a Father's Day edition of Rosie on the House. Good morning. That'll get it done for you on a Saturday morning, won't it? That fires you up, doesn't it, Rome? Oh, yeah. We're here for you like we are every Saturday morning. We have a very special guest in studio. We've been able to reach up into the high, high echelons of Arizona management and bring in and recruit the commissioner from the Arizona Real Estate Department, Mrs. Judy Lowe. Miss Judy, thank you so much for taking time. I know you want to get home and start your Father's Day weekend celebrations, but thanks a bunch. We've been waiting for this day for a long time to get you in here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on this wonderful weekend.
Oh, boy. The Arizona Real Estate Department. Boy, that I'd like to do a study of the history of that department, particularly after this conference that Jennifer and I just returned from. We went to an evening event at Oro Valley Country Club, and the presenter had us in stitches over the printed ads when Oro Valley first subdivided, and the stories of him hiring legions of salespeople and sending them to Milwaukee and Minneapolis and Chicago, promising them a lake you can water ski in. You know, it was the Garden of Eden, and maybe selling one lot to more than two or three people. his company, Romy, at one time in the 60s, was the third largest employer of Pima County.
Wow. And I may be wrong, but to my knowledge, there's no lake to water ski on Oro Valley, is there?
It would be a really small boat and a really small pair of skis. Have you seen the YouTube with the squirrel? Water ski of mine, the radio
about that. I didn't think that ever.
But Miss Judy, it hit me, and knowing you were coming in today, I thought, we have got to put a show together about the land scams history the last 50 years in Arizona. There's been some pretty colorful characters in our history, haven't there?
There really have been, and you wonder whether they were entrepreneurs or fraudsters. Because, you know, Horizon Land, which was the developer of Oro Valley, used to go to Chicago in the middle of winter and show our sunshine and say, you know, if you were in Arizona, you could be lying by the swimming pool right now. Yeah. And imagine, then they would actually bring those individuals that were interested out, or they would sell land sight unseen. So, good question. Entrepreneurs or fraudsters?
Well, and a similar story of Prescott Valley, which at the time was Antelope Valley, then it was Grass Valley, then it was Prescott Valley. They built that little motel there just to fly civil servants from Chicago up there to put them in the room so they could sell the lot to four or five of them at one time.
That's right, the same lot.
Well, how long have you been at the Department of Real Estate?
I've been there going on 9 years. Okay. Governor Jan Brewer appointed me in 2009. And our current governor, Doug Ducey, reappointed me a year and a half ago.
Well, congratulations. And your world has been Southern Arizona real estate?
It has been. Okay. I grew up in Tucson and started as a real estate secretary at the front desk in an office. And then ended up, just before taking this position, selling one of the largest real estate companies in Southern Arizona.
Well, when the idea came up that we should have you on, because the topic of flipped homes comes up often on our show, really often, I thought, well, y'all can call her and ask her, but she might be too mad at me.
Why would I be mad at you?
You know, let's talk about y'all's role in policing your industry.
Well, Rosie, you know, there are 83,000 real estate licensees in Arizona, and the department oversees the licensing, the renewal of the new licensing, the renewal of those 83,000 real estate licensees. And then we're also charged with protecting the public through creating oversight of the activities of the real estate licensees. Always considering that our mission statement is to protect the Arizona constituents in their real estate transactions.
Okay. Well, that's very close to our vision and mission statement.
I read that.
To become every Arizona homeowner's best friend by educating them and instructing them and protecting them and hopefully along the way entertaining them just a little bit. I don't have many regrets in my life. My dad taught me not to live that way. But one regret I do have is allowing my real estate license to lapse. When I was in college back in the 70s, taking real estate class at ASU from Dr. Jay Butler.
Ooh, one of the best.
One of the best. He was our real estate professor. You were actually qualified to test out on your license after you finished, I think, two semesters of his real estate class. And so I tested out, had my real estate license for about 10 years, and then just let it lapse, and I wish I had.
I wish you hadn't. And, you know, the department has just put together a new program with ASU, which will offer a real estate minor, including the licensing, taking the exam, and moving real estate education to the next highest level in education.
What are the current credentials for getting licensed?
90 hours of in-classroom instruction. Taking the
you had me thinking I should get my real estate license. They said 90-hour classroom. I'd make it 9 minutes. I'd be like, all right, where's
it
a book I
can
just go
fast.
Read this?
Those 90 hours are exciting.
I get in the classroom, I just get anxious and fidgety, and I'm like, I can't stand a classroom.
No, this would be so interesting that you would enjoy it.
Is it an outside class? Can we at least go do it on the lawn under some trees or something?
I don't know if that's offered or not.
Real estate law is very, very intriguing.
It is. Yeah. It is. And stories like you just experienced last week, hearing stories about real estate. You know, those very activities is exactly what helped put in place the laws around developing a subdivision in Arizona, which we oversee for all of the builders, subdividers, and developers.
Yeah, we had to put an end to selling the same plot three different times.
We did.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a good thing. But that lesson that we got at Oro Valley Country Club, which was a beautiful place, beautiful setting, triggered the idea in my mind that I'm going to put together a show just on the colorful real estate schemes we've seen in Arizona. And I got here in 65, and they were kind of winding down then, but we've had a few since then.
Well, and there are wonderful speakers that could interact with you on your show.
I'd love to put a crew of them together to talk about that. What's making the phone ring at the department today?
Well, of course, property management, but we're not going to get into that today. That's a 90-hour course in itself almost. Property management, the idea that there are or maybe unlicensed individuals who are practicing real estate in Arizona, and the consumer may not know that the individual that they're working with really doesn't have a real estate license.
What is that person risking by doing that? The one practicing real estate without his license, what are the ramifications for them?
Maybe harm. Maybe a loss of the ability to close on a property that they want because there's a lack of education there. The inability to really come to the department and have the department take action against an unlicensed individual, we cannot do that. The only thing that we can do with an unlicensed individual is to issue a cease and desist,
okay,
which forces them to stop doing what they're doing. And then we would refer that case to for civil action at the AG's office or with the county attorney in the county that that individual is operating in.
And starting in the real estate as a receptionist administrator, in what decade was that?
I'm not going to tell you.
Was that in the 70s?
It was in the late 70s, early 80s.
So you have seen your share of a little of real, I call it the real estate roller coaster ride, the ups and the downs. But I don't know, so I've been in it a little longer than you, but we never saw one like we saw in 06, 7, 8, 9.
It has been a very sad time in Arizona's history. I will say that we feel like we're recovering.
Strongly, too.
Strongly. We don't want to go back to what we experienced in 06, but we are seeing a nice, solid, strong stabilization of our market, getting back to where a seller and owner can realize some appreciation in ownership, getting back to a time when buyers have the qualifications to be able to buy again. It's a good time in Arizona real estate.
Any time you can get equity back in the picture, it's a good time.
That's right.
Oh, boy, those upside-down equity roller coasters are not very fun. We're here at Rosie on the House this hour with Commissioner for the Arizona Real Estate Department, Mrs. Judy Lowe. If you have a question for Ms. Judy, you're welcome to call her. We'll take in calls at 1-888-767-4348. Talking real estate and the world of realtors. And we're going to be talking a little bit about our topic of the day. Things you should be aware of, things you should be researching. What's your due diligence you should put upon yourself to look into the house you're considering buying? More with Mrs. Judy Lowe in just a few minutes.
He said daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen.
Hey, that's what we'll do. Just so we can separate the two text contests. Text amen. 411-923. Anyone that does that between now and the next news break, the next commercial cycle, we'll just pick your name at random for our next giveaway. This one is the Hex Armor safety glasses that are tinted. Hex Armor gloves. These are their summer, they call them their warm weather gloves, so they wick moisture away, keep your hands dry, but yet protected while you're doing whatever project it is around your house, home, castle, or cabin, or if you've got a father in the trades that wears gloves, this is great. And a GrillBot. This is a automatic grill cleaning machine that does a fabulous job inside your grill, scrubbing it up. So just text AMEN to 411-923. Between now and the next commercial break, we'll pick your name at random. For everyone that says I don't text, which we surprisingly get a lot of people that are still old school and just have what we call POTS in the industry, plain old telephones. As we're going, ending the hour to the news break, we'll do the next contest as a call-in for those. But we don't want to tie up the phones during the content of the broadcast. So if you'd like to talk real estate, if you'd like to talk to Julie, it's 1-888-767-4348.
Ms. Judy Lowe, the commissioner for the Arizona Real Estate Department, is joining us this morning talking about real estate. Let's talk a little bit about, in buying and selling the transaction, the seller has an obligation that y'all have come up with a particular document with, and I think this has been within the last 10 or 15 years, the public disclosure, the statement of what you know about the property. What is a seller am I legally bound to report?
As a seller, you must report everything that you know about that property. And, you know, if the seller is working with a realtor, a member of the Arizona Association of Realtors, they have a particular form. It's called the Seller Property Disclosure Form. And the seller fills that out. No assistance from anyone else. They fill that out, and that disclosure form becomes a part of the listing file to be turned over to a buyer at the time that the buyer has written an acceptable offer.
So the report includes questions like, has the house ever had termites?
That's right.
Has the house ever experienced a mold event?
That's right.
And then there's kind of an open-ended, is there anything else a seller, a buyer should know? And so I know people that move in homes, they put blinders on, they never ask any questions, they never get professionals out to the house specifically, so that at the point they have to sell the house, they just say, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know.
Well, and isn't that sad? You know, when a seller, many times a seller does on that seller property disclosure form mark that they never lived in the property.
Okay.
And that they cannot disclose these things. That then is given to the buyer in place of a fully completed seller property disclosure form. That that is a sad event for buyers, because buyers then do not have anyone telling them about the property. That's when it's very, very important to work with a property inspector, for the buyer to have a property inspection done.
Clear my confusion up. Is it law you have to have an inspection done on a property?
No.
It's just become the culture of the industry.
Yes, and some of that is because there are so many properties transferring hands where the seller property disclosure has not been completed by a seller. Mm. So and every buyer needs to know the condition, the elements of a home that may need attention.
In this last down cycle, there were a lot of homes that we call as being flipped. You know, an investor or anyone comes in, buys the home for maybe 30% of what it was worth at the peak of the real estate market, puts a little money into it, maybe carpet and paint, putting lipstick on a pig. But sometimes those flips involved work that required a permit or a licensed contractor. Now that's, I mentioned earlier, I didn't know if you would come on the show because I didn't know if you were mad at me. I've kind of been working with the registrar contractor a little bit to try and find those what we call serial violators, who would come in and buy a block of homes, 20, 30, 40 homes, and hire unlicensed contractors to do work that needed to be permitted, that were never permitted, and then flipping these homes, and they may put a tenant in it, you know, for some amount of time to let the market come back. A lot of those came back to the market in 2011, 12, and 13. And we're going to break for bottom of the hour news here. But when I come back, I want to talk to you about what can we do to help the victims that bought those homes and now find themselves entangled in a huge mess. We started a project just this week in Scottsdale. Work completed without a permit. It's going to take about $30,000 to fix the flipped home before we can ever start the work they want to get done. So you and I, Ms. Judy Lowe from the Arizona Department of Real Estate, are going to talk about those flipped home victims we get back. All
great.
Right?
Great. Great.
One 888 767 4348. That's 1-888 Rosie for you to join the conversation. Do you want to go to Dory?
Not quite yet. Not
right.
Quite yet.
Before we get to the call.
Dory's calling from Tucson with questions about home inspections. But before we go there, I want to come back to our special guest, Mrs. Judy Lowe, the commissioner for the Arizona Real Estate Department. We were talking about flipped homes, And we deal with it on a fairly regular basis here at Rosie on the House. People that have moved in a home, discovering work's been done, out of permit, work that out of code. And they're asking me, Rosie, I'm stuck. I mean, what's the realtor's responsibility in moving one of these pieces of property?
Well, you know, in state real estate law, the real estate licensee must disclose every material fact about that property that they know. They need to be doing it consistently and on every property. Now, if the real estate licensee does not know any material facts, of course, they don't have to make a disclosure. What can that homeowner now do? Depends on how long ago they bought.
Mm-hmm.
If it's very recent and they feel that they've been damaged, they need to gather their documents, may need to be heard by a civil court or a small claims court, but it usually requires some civil action unless it's a claim against a real estate licensee who did not disclose what they knew about the property.
Then they would contact you.
Then they would contact the Department of Real Estate.
No need to contact an attorney.
Not initially.
Okay, so you contact your department, and what happens? What's the procedure?
Come to azre.gov. There's a big button that you hit, and that pulls down the complaint form. Filling out that complaint form, including as much documentation and verbiage as possible on the complaint form, and then go back to our website, hit Message Center, and that allows the consumer to upload their complaint with all of those documents. It's immediately reviewed by the Department of Real Estate, and we determine whether it is outside of our jurisdiction, whether maybe it's a contract issue rather than a claim against a real estate licensee. If it's a claim against a real estate licensee, an investigation is opened immediately.
Okay, so y'all have some teeth there.
Yes, we do, against the real estate licensee.
Oh, okay.
But if it's against the seller who did not make the disclosure, then it usually is a seller issue that has to be taken civilly.
We've added in our consumer alert in the last 7 or 8 years, because we have some guidelines when buying a home, things you need to do. And in the last 5 or 6 years, we've added contact the building department that the house sits in the jurisdiction of. If it's the city of Scottsdale or Glendale or Phoenix, contact the building department. They have records of every permit that's ever been pulled on that address. If you know work has been done, go find out if a permit's been pulled. It's very easy due diligence to do. If a permit's been pulled, find out was it an owner pulled permit or was it a builder pulled permit. Find out if the builder's still in business. Verify his contractor license number. Contact him. If it was an owner pulled permit, contact that particular owner and see if a licensed contractor was used to get the work done. I mean, there's a lot of levels there to protect yourself.
And it all starts way back in the transaction. When you're the buyer of that property, making sure that you've gotten a seller property disclosure form, making sure that you've had a home inspection, maybe making sure or at least checking to see whether the home warranty that was placed on the property could cover a little bit of that. There are many, many avenues, as you say, Rosie, that can be followed.
Mrs. Judy Lowe, the commissioner for the Arizona Real Estate Department. And Judy, you've been in the industry long enough to know. We get calls like this. Rosie, I downloaded your alert. I was following every single, I was doing everything you told us to do, but my wife fell in love with the kitchen.
Don't fall in love with the kitchen. Well, fall in love with the kitchen, but don't become an emotional buyer.
Don't let your due diligence lapse.
That's right.
Let's bring Dory into the conversation. She's calling from Tucson, and apparently a less than desirable reaction with a particular home inspector. Good morning, Dory. What's your issue?
Good morning. I have seen, actually, when I sell a house, I sell it as is. Because I find that inspectors come. I've seen a home inspected by 3 different inspectors. Each one comes up with an issue. I have seen them break things in a home. And the one that really I thought was really cute was where he said the plant was planted too close to the house. Isn't there some guideline or some, I don't know, some form that they each check that they should not be an individual and pick up different, ideas about how things should be done in a home.
And Dory, you are a realtor down in Tucson?
No, I'm not a realtor.
Oh, okay. All right. But you've seen the home inspection reports. And
yes. I mean, I have friends that have gone through this.
Okay. Well, it's a lot like the home energy audit business. Not all inspectors are created equal. Not all home energy audit companies are created equal. I don't think there's a legal license in the home inspection world. There's trade associations that do a little self-policing, but we haven't a state-licensed agency that monitors the home inspectors, I don't believe.
Well, they must be registered
yes.
with the agency that oversees the registering of home inspectors.
Yeah, but that doesn't require a proof of proficiency or any particular class time.
There is no consistency there, yeah. And as Dory is saying, there is not a consistent checklist unless the individual inspector is a member of one of those associations, ASHI, or an association that governs the quality.
Yeah, I can tell y'all that we've done some of the homework for all of you, the homeowners, through our Rosie on the House certification. We do have two licensed inspectors. And one of the ways that we test our inspectors is we actually send them out on dummy inspections. We already know what's wrong with the house, and we send them out and blind shop them, ghost shop them, to see how diligent they are in turning the products up. And our two Rosie certified inspectors.
For our Tucson caller, it's Seal of Approval. S-E-A-L of Approval. Get it? Seal.
Seal.
And they got a seal as their logo.
Got it.
But great. I mean, we've had them on the air before. Yes. They've come down to the Saba Home Show, and they help us answer questions in the booth when we get overrun with traffic.
I want to get my hands on his photo library. Some of the things he's taken pictures of are unbelievable. So and, that's Seal of Approval for Southern Arizona, Pima County.
The home inspector, the inspector home inspections, Toby.
Toby.
Has put together some great information for us as well on what to look for and what he's found in flipped homes that will...
His email he sent this week was really, really pertinent. And the stuff that he has found, unbelievable. Toby, thanks for doing that.
The Inspector Home Inspections out of Mesa and then Seal of Approval Home Inspections out of Tucson. If you are a Prescott Flagstaff Northern Arizona Home Inspector, we have an opening for you. Just contact us at rosieonthehouse.com to start the application process.
Dory, thanks for the call, and we agree with you. Not all inspectors are created equal. I think, going back into the real estate industry, personally involved in it since the early 70s, when home inspections came out, I think the realtors fought it at first, and then they thought, oh no, it's just one more impediment to a transaction. We don't need more impediments. But the real estate agents, have really become to love the home inspection.
Yes, they have. And you know, Tucson adopted home inspections first.
I didn't know that.
And then it has become common in every transaction now here in the Valley. The quality of the home inspectors have improved. The education of the consumer. Remember that it's the buyer that pays for that home inspection. So we have to educate the value of the home inspection to the consumer in order for them to realize the importance of it. And then the buy-in of the real estate licensee in encouraging and in some cases mandating almost that their buyers have a home inspection. It does make the transaction take a little bit longer, but not much longer. Maybe a few hours longer because you would be waiting for that home inspection report to come back.
Now, you don't get involved too much with the homeowners associations.
We have just, at the Department of Real Estate, just been given the HOA dispute resolution process.
That's going to fall into your lap.
Yes, it has.
Oh, boy.
Beginning last July 1st, owners who have an issue with their HOA or HOAs that have an issue with an owner may bring that issue to the Department of Real Estate, supply the department with all of the documents around it, and it is sent then to the Office of Administrative Hearings. The case is heard by an administrative law judge, and a binding decision is determined.
Okay. I did not realize they had moved that over to your desk.
Well, we are quickly realizing how many buyers move into a property and have never read the governing documents.
They fell in love with the kitchen.
They fell in love with the kitchen.
That's so true. When we talk to people about buying a home, I give them a very complicated spreadsheet, and I tell them, compare cost per square foot, both of the property, the lot, as well as the house. Take a look at the school districts. How close is it to the church of your choice? And I lead them through a whole vast thing. And then, but I just wrap it up, and I say, but if she likes the kitchen, buy it anyway.
No. No.
You'll end up in an apartment. She'll end up in the house.
The correct remodeler's answer would be, I'll make you any kitchen you want, any home
right.
you buy.
That's right. We're here with Mrs. Judy Lowe, the commissioner of the Arizona Department of Real Estate, talking Arizona real estate with you, the Arizona homeowners, here at Rosie on the House. We'll be right back. Y'all don't go anywhere. It's the Father's Day edition of Rosie on the House. A beautiful but warm Arizona Saturday morning. That was a lesson. That was another lesson I learned at ASU. I had a surveying professor, Mr. Borgo, and when you went out surveying, you had to fill in your weather report. And you, if you ever wrote hot on his daily weather reports, he would fail you for the day. No matter what the temperature was, you could never put hot. You always put warm, but you could not put hot. So don't.
It's all mental state of mind.
That's right. That's right. We are here with the commissioner for the Arizona Real Estate Department, Mrs. Judy Lowe. You've been in the office for 9 years.
I have.
Okay. And we have been talking just about all hour about buyer beware, buyer beware, buyer beware. But there is a new dimension in the real estate industry that I can't let you out of the studio without covering, and it's seller beware.
Seller beware.
This is really almost kind of a scary dimension. Talk a little bit about what y'all are seeing in this regard.
Well, and you know, Rosie, it's just beginning to be brought forward. We have sellers. Some of them are desperate sellers who are being approached to sell their home to maybe an investor group. That investor group works directly with the seller. The seller has no representation. And in many instances, the investor group is wanting to flip the property. In other words, they write an offer to a desperate seller, let's say, and the seller is not reading the contract, not looking for professional guidance. They're agreeing out of desperation to agree to the terms of the contract. And the terms of the contract many times are not good for a seller. Sometimes it's pricing. It's way, way under the comps of the area, the comparable properties. It's low in sales price. Sometimes that investor group will ask that they be allowed to market the property during the escrow period. And if they do not find another buyer to flip it to during the escrow period, the contract with the desperate seller becomes null and void and of no effect.
And at that point, who pays for all the improvements that the investment group has come in and done?
Well, it depends. If they cancel the contract, it could be a lien against the property.
Unpaid.
Unpaid.
And now this desperate seller has a home saddled with a chain of liens on it.
That's right. So my advice to sellers, have some advice, have some professional advice. Have a real estate licensee holding your hand. Have an attorney on hand. Watch out for what you're reading and agreeing to.
Some of these investor groups are actually crowdfunded.
Yes, those are, and
wow.
that's a new term. That's where a lot of individuals put in their dollars to create a large enough pool of money that they can buy properties from sellers.
They come in, they make a below fair market value offer.
They could.
Get the seller to agree that they're basically trying to improve the house and literally double escrow it is what the ideal situation is, right?
That's right.
So they're in for whatever gain they can make. The improvements are made, may or may not be paid for. And I'm talking worst case scenario, but this, again, is seller beware. You could end up with a listing on your home that gets you even deeper in trouble than you are now.
You could, and, you know, it's looked at as a double escrow if it closes escrow and then goes to a new buyer immediately after closing. But in some of these offers that are being written, it's actually and/or assigns. So in the state of Arizona, any escrow position can be assigned to a new participant in the transaction, a new buyer. So, you know, heads up on the and/or signs next to the buyer's name.
Seller beware. I know a very, very prominent commercial industrial developer here in town. And you walk in his office and the sign on his desk says, "We know we're in trouble when we start believing each other." When we start telling each other what this property will be worth next year, in 3 years, in 5 years. Mrs. Judy Lowe, the commissioner for the Arizona Real Estate Department, I can't thank you enough for coming in, sharing your wisdom and your warnings to our listener, the Arizona homeowner. Thanks a million.
I've really enjoyed it, and have me again.
Oh, we will. We will. We're going to move into the 10 o'clock hour. We've got an interview with the manufacturers at Briggs & Stratton about some equipment that Romy and Jennifer found at the National Hardware Show this year. And as well, it'll be the open hour. You fathers that are trying to get projects done this particular weekend will give you preference for getting in, 1-888-767-4348. Or any of you trying to complete a project for your father this weekend, you too will get preference to get in. Anything you're trying to tackle around your house, home, castle, or cabin, it's 1-888-767-4348.
And first one on that line right now, you're going to get the next grill bot with the Hex Armor safety glasses, tinted vision, and the warm weather gloves. Let's get rid of that. I said we do it on the phones. Let's do it right now. First one online, 1-888-767-4348.
Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's rosieonthehouse.com.